Exodus chapter 32, we will continue our study in the life of Moses and the children of Israel today. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1 is where we'll begin. The title of the message today is, of course, Follow the Leader. And where we are at an all-time low in the history of Israel. Israel's going to come to the point where they build a golden calf, bow down and worship that golden calf as their God. And so today we're going to read about that in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 1 says, "Now when the people saw Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, and the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' Then they rose early the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. And our Father in heaven, O Lord, we thank you for your word. Now we pray for your guidance in your word, Lord. Open our minds and our hearts. Give us understanding. Help us, Lord, that through this message today, we may be drawn to you in a closer relationship than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said before, this is the low point, the history of Israel. The question in my mind that immediately comes to my mind is, how in the world can anyone with any intelligence build a golden calf, or any kind of calf for that matter, build a statue and then bow down and worship that statue as God? That's just beyond what my mind can grasp. But I do want to go over with you how they got there. You see, there were some things that went very wrong that brought them to that point. And the first thing that went very wrong was leadership. You see, leaders must lead. Aaron is left in charge. And to kind of build the state of where we are, Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai to receive the commandments of God. Before he goes, he leaves Aaron and Hur in charge. And we read about that in Exodus chapter 24, verse 14. This is Moses speaking. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them." Now, we don't know a lot about Hur, but we know about a lot about Aaron, Moses' brother, Moses' right-hand man. And he has gone from being Moses' right-hand man to the man. The guy in charge. If there's a problem, he's the guy that has the answer. He's the man. Aaron's in charge, but the reality is the people are in control. You see, Moses' absence, the reason he put Aaron in charge was, of course, he's going up to commune with God on Mount Sinai and get the commandments of God. And while he's up there, I want you to understand, Israel is down below and they look up on the mountain and this is what they see. And again, in Exodus 24, as they're looking up, now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. They're at the bottom of the mountain, the bottom of Mount Sinai. They're looking up, and it looks like a raging inferno in the presence of God on the top of Mount Sinai. And the last thing they have seen of Moses is when he went into that raging inferno of a mountain. So the thought that's in their mind is Moses is dead. Nobody could live in that kind of a fire. So with that thought in mind, they approach the man that's in charge, Aaron. And they tell Aaron, make us gods. For we don't know what has happened to this man Moses who brought us out of Egypt. Make us gods that'll go before us. And I want you to understand as they approach him, this is not a request. This wasn't just a passing idea. How about if we just... No, they go to Aaron and say, look, we don't know what's going on with Moses. We need some gods and we need them now. We want you to make them. And Moses folded like a cheap sheet. Aaron folded, not Moses. Moses still up on the mountain, right? Aaron folded. He collapsed. And there, the people are demanding, this is what we want. So Aaron said, sure, give the people what they want. You guys break off the earring from your children, from your daughters, from your wives. Bring me the earring. And it says he received those earrings and he fashioned them into a golden calf. Then he built an altar before that golden calf. Then he made a proclamation. That proclamation was, tomorrow is a feast before the Lord. That word used, Lord, there is Yahweh, which it gets really ugly here really fast. That's the personal proper name of the God of Israel, Yahweh. Okay? And so when Aaron says, tomorrow is a day, a feast before Yahweh. He's got this calf and this altar sitting there. That is just absolutely one of the worst slap in the face kind of blasphemous statements that anyone can make. And so the people looked at what Aaron created and said, this is your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. You know what the problem was? The problem was Aaron never led. He was put in charge. He was given a mission to guide the children of Israel and address any problems that come up. They come to him demanding, make us a god. And Aaron never stood up and said, we already have a god. He never stood up. You see, one of the greatest things needed, even in our country today, are people willing to lead. Actually willing to stand up and lead. And the hardest thing about leadership is leading someone in a direction that they don't want to go. Have you ever had to do that as a leader? See, that's what Aaron's facing here. These people are demanding one thing. Aaron knows better, but he's not bold enough to stand up and say, look, guys, we're not going this way. And you look today, and you may look at me and say, well, Brother Doug, you know, I'm not a leader. You're wrong. You're wrong. Are you a father then you're a leader. And you know, are you a wife? Then you're a leader. Are you a parent? You're a leader. And what I want you to grab, just think about it. You know what's wrong with families today? Parents that won't be parents. That think it's their job to be the best friends of their kids and provide them with everything they want. And consequently, we have built a society in which it's all about what the children want and what about the children and what the children think. And listen, I love our kids, but they don't need everything they want. They need leaders to guide them in life. They need people to say, no, we don't do that. When they're going down a path they don't need to go. They need parents to be parents instead of buddies. I love our kids. But our kids need leaders. It's the same way with pastors and churches. You know why our churches today don't stand for anything anymore? Because nothing's coming out of the pulpits anymore. People are not saying, you know, pastors are not saying, thus saith the word of the Lord. It's all about social and political correctness. It's all about including everyone and everything and honoring everyone's religious belief. And let's just all hold hands because we're trying to get to heaven anyway. And I want to tell you something. There's some preachers that's going to have something to answer to when they stand before their God and are responsible for not taking a stand based upon the Scripture. You go to Romans chapter 1, and I know there are expectations of the children of God. There are lifestyle expectations. You live with somebody outside of marriage? Ooh, let me share with you. I love you very much, but that's wrong. A lifestyle of homosexuality. I love everyone. I don't care if they're a homosexual, if they're not. But beloved, that is wrong in the eyes of a holy God. And we have no business supporting and embracing such a lifestyle. Okay? It's not okay. As I said, don't get me wrong, I don't believe in abusing anyone. But I don't believe the church should ever put their stamp of approval on sin. Whatever that sin is. We, as church leaders, as pastors, are living in an age where people need to hear sin is sin. Reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul writing to Timothy, and I didn't put this in the slides, but I want to share it with you. You know what he said? He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn away ears from the truth and be turned to fables. That's what many churches are today, are just mere fables, because they don't want to tell people that sin is sin. We have a responsibility as leaders. I have a responsibility as a pastor. You have a responsibility as parents. We have responsibilities as Bible study teachers to stand and lead people in the Word of God, according to what the Word of God says. Not our opinion, not our likes and our dislikes, but thus says the Lord. That is leadership, my friends. Okay? Leaders must lead. Israel goes down this path of worshiping a golden calf because Aaron and Hur never stood up and led. Followers must follow. That seems kind of simple, doesn't it? But followers must follow. Here's the thing. You have to be careful who you follow. Don't follow the wrong leader. See, here's where it really gets dicey. Okay? Moses was a man of God who was leading the people as he followed God. Right? He was passing along God's message to the people. He was doing what he was supposed to do. That's how it's supposed to work, right? But the problem was, even though Moses was following God and passing God along to the people were following Moses. That's why God said, and this is a key scripture, verse 7 in the text that we read. The Lord said to Moses, "Go get down, for your people who you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Have you ever wondered why God said, "Your people which you brought"? He's not passing the buck. There's been a time or two I thought, well, God, you know, why are you passing the buck there? They're not your people. The reality was God stating a fact. They were not God's people because they had been following Moses. Okay? They had never committed themselves to God. Never. And because of that, each time there was a crisis, guess what happened? They blamed Moses. Did you notice that? In chapter 14, verse 11, when the Egyptians were about to come down upon them, they're camped out on the bank of the Red Sea, and they see the army of Egypt coming. And you remember what they said? "Moses, you brought us into this wilderness to kill us here. Oh, that we had stayed in Egypt." Then when they were hungry, you remember what they did? "Moses, you brought us in this wilderness to starve us to death, to kill us with hunger. Moses, it's all your fault." Then when they were thirsty, chapter 17, they were thirsty and they said to Moses, "Moses, you brought us out of Egypt to kill us with thirst." Every time there was a challenge, it was Moses' fault because they were following Moses. Now listen, I'm not throwing stones at Moses. Moses was doing what he was supposed to do. But the people were confused. It wasn't about Moses. It was about the God of Israel. Okay? They were to follow the God of Israel by following Moses. And so now, because Moses is gone, and they have no relationship with God, they look for a new direction. Moses is dead. We don't know what's happened to him. Our leader is gone. What are we going to do now? Oh, I know. Let's build us a God. That's what they did, and they went crazy. As though they never knew God. Proverbs 29, verse 18. "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." The King James Version said, "where there's no vision," but that word vision or revelation, it's talking about a word from God. When there is not a word from God, the people cast off restraint. Sound familiar? Does it make sense? Israel did not have a man who would stand up and say, "Okay, God says." Therefore, they cast all restraint. They bowed before a golden calf and they worshiped this golden calf. That word worship carries the idea of looking toward. And so now, instead of looking toward the God of Israel, they're looking toward this golden man-made image to direct their nation. And of course, you can't get anything out of a hunk of gold. You see, people are looking for someone to follow. They've always looked for someone to follow. And they look to follow somebody who will give them what they want. Have you ever noticed that? As long as you do what I say, you know, you're our leader. Our country right now, and I'm just a young 53 years old, so I haven't been around very long, but this is the most divided country I've ever seen in my life. And you know why? Because the sides, the battle lines have been drawn. And you've got one group that says, "This is what I want. You give me what I want. And that's the way it's supposed to, you know. You give me what I want and I will vote for you." While you've got the other side that says, "Quit giving everything away. If you don't quit giving everything away, or we get a president that doesn't give everything away, and I'll vote for him." And then you've got this nation that are Clinton sympathizers, and on the other side, Trump sympathizers. And I'm just amazed that we have either one of them as somebody to vote for, quite honestly.
That's my political input for the day. I'm sorry. But the problem is everybody wants what they want. And it doesn't matter what's right, wrong, or what this nation needs. I want to tell you, Hillary Clinton's not going to fix it. Donald Trump's not going to fix it. God is the only one that can fix it. And we need a person with godly principles who will go to the White House and say, "Look, we are a nation who have turned our backs on God. And we need to return." A man who will make decisions based on right and wrong and not based on lobbyists who want their way. You see, we're not so far removed from the children of Israel. Because just as soon as a politician promises to give us what we want, we'll bow down at the altar of politics and say he's going to fix it. He's not. He's not going to fix it. We do the same thing on a spiritual level. Have you noticed that? Following men. People have their TV preachers. Listen, there's a guy, you know, I'll just tell you, I've told you before. Adrian Rogers is my guy. Okay? Just a wonderful speaker, wonderful man of God, and went on to be with the Lord, and I still listen to his messages, right? But there are those who are building this empire today, this religious empire, based on charisma, what kind of fella they are. They build this big following and they sit in their gold chairs on TV and say, "Write us a check, send us money, and I'll send you a prayer hanky." We won't even go there. We just keep going, okay? But the amazing thing is people will follow them. Every Sunday morning they'll bow down at the altar of ABC, NBC, CBS, or whatever other TV station. And they never darken the door of a local church. That's not what it's supposed to be. You're following a man. You can't follow a man and life be right. But let's face it, we even do it with pastors. You know, there are people, "Well, I love my pastor." And let me tell you, I'm not telling you don't follow your pastor, especially since I am the pastor. But I do want you to know it's not about me. I don't want you to follow me because I'm Brother Doug or I'm your pastor. I want us together to follow Jesus. Okay? Jesus has to be the focus. He has to be the center point of the one, of the reason that you do what you do. You know, if you like your pastor too much and something happens and your pastor, God moves that man, where are you going to be? Yeah, I've known people that go to church. Or used to go to church. And, "Well, I used to go and there was a pastor. Man, I just loved that guy. But he left or the Lord called him home or whatever. And since him, I just hadn't been involved in church." You were following the wrong guy. Okay? And listen, I have no plans to go anywhere, right? But I want to tell you what. I want us to have a church that, if the Lord called me home or he led me somewhere else, that'll never miss a lick. That'll keep pressing forward for the glory of God. Because we follow God together. He's the focus. Not preachers, not deacons, not committees. We follow God. Okay? You know what led me to victory? Or one of the things that attracted me to victory was I saw a church that didn't depend on any one guy. A church that I knew that any one person can be gone and that church will still run just as strong as before. That's the way it's supposed to go. Okay? Like I said, don't get me wrong. I have plans to be here, you know, from now on. But I do know this, I won't be here forever. And when God makes a move in my life, whether it be to call me home or call me to a different ministry, I want victory to be stronger than ever when I leave. Okay? Because you're following God, not me. I can't, you know, as I read this, it almost leaves me speechless. Here are people who've seen the mighty hand of God. They've seen Him plague Egypt with frogs and flies and locusts and disease and the death of the firstborn. They've seen all that. They've seen God part the Red Sea and they walk across on dry ground. They've seen God give them food that when they go out in the morning, they pick up bread off the ground because God's laid it there for them. And they come to this point. And I say, how? How could you see what they've seen and come to this point where you say, let's build a cow and call Him our God? They didn't get it from the beginning. That's the problem. From the very beginning, they didn't get it. You see, if you go back, and I'd encourage you, you know, read this whole chapter. We can't cover this whole chapter this morning. But I would encourage you to read this whole chapter this afternoon. But if you go back to the very beginning, you know what God told them? God told them why He was doing what He was doing. And that's found in Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. Here's what God wanted. He said, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. And then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You see, here's what God wanted. God wanted them to know that He was God. Let me ask you, do you know that God is God? Do you? He's in control. He has the power. He's the one that you depend on. He is God. He also wanted them to know, or He also wanted to be your God. Your God. Pretty simple, isn't it? You know, you don't have to be a theologian to understand what God's looking for. He's looking for a personal relationship with you. He wants you to know that He is God and He wants to be your God. Meaning, He wants to be the controlling factor in your life. Is He? Is He? It starts with a personal relationship. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Listen, I know, you know, we're all about being politically correct, but I want to tell you a straightforward truth. Everybody's not going to heaven. There is one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, the one who gave His life so that you could have eternal life. The Son of God lived a perfect and sinless life, then went to the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice to take the punishment for your sin. He gave Himself to die so that you could live. The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. You may be a pretty good fella, but I want to tell you what, you're not good enough to go to heaven. Okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, me, everybody here. The only hope we have is mercy. And that mercy is offered through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now what I want to challenge you to do today is I want you to make Jesus your God. Okay? From this point forward, knowing that you're not following a man, you're not following a church, you're not following a philosophy. You are following the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, who gave His life for you. Jesus Christ. Are you His child? The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you saved? Have you called on Jesus Christ? If not, you need to do that today. Second, okay? Is He your God? Is He your God? Meaning, is He first? What's the priority of your life? Okay? You know, we sometimes I lose... my priorities get messed up. Do y'all have that problem? Sometimes, you know, things get in the way, and the first thing I know, I'm controlled by something that should not be controlling me. Let's do an honest evaluation. Is God your God? Is He first? If He's not first, He's not the Lord of your life. You're just pretending. Okay? There's way more to a personal relationship. There's way more to God being your God than just acknowledging, yeah, God's God. It's when He's the priority. Is He your priority? If you're here today and He's not your priority, it's time to rededicate your life. It's time to get back, to quit worshiping the golden cow that you're bowing down to every week. It may be baseball, it may be football, it may be children's activity, it may be whatever. But it's an idol, and it's coming before God. You need to get rid of it. Okay? Because you'll not have true joy until the Lord is your Lord, your God, your priority. You may be here today and there's some other need in your life. Maybe things are going bad. Maybe things, your relationship was right. But boy, you're just facing some really hard times. I want to tell you what. If you're facing some really difficult times, I've got some good news for you. God is God. And there's nothing God cannot handle. Okay? If He can speak this world into this universe into existence, your problem's no problem for Him. You just need to bring them to Him. Okay? You need to bring those problems to Jesus at this altar. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. Whatever the need is, let God be God and respond to His leadership. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for this reminder. My goodness, sometimes we get to following the wrong people. We get to following the wrong things. And we get off track. And so, Lord, today we come to You to be reminded. It's Your God. And we want You to be our God, the controlling factor of our life. And now as we come to this invitation, it's time for us to deal with You and for You to deal with us. Convict us, sin. Draw us to You. And we pray that everything, every move made in this invitation would be for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.